Before we start today's presentation, I'd like to introduce and welcome Ms. Brittany Brown. She is the new executive director of the Kenai Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center here, so any problems, see her, not me. Now the Heritage, Brittany was born in Nome, Alaska and raised primarily in the Mat-Su Valley. She graduated from the University of Anchorage, Alaska with her bachelor's in business administration and then her master's of industrial distribution from Texas A&M, Aggie. Excellent, easy. Ms. Brown comes to the Kenai Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center with a wealth of knowledge and experience working with Alaska communities from the North Slope to the Kenai Peninsula. Her passion and comprehensive experience developing, promoting, and advocating for organizations, services sets her apart from anybody else. I just threw that in there. We are excited to see where she will take this. And now I would like to reintroduce Ms. Brittany Brown, and she'll come up and introduce.
Upon to being Aggie here. Thanks all for the introduction, and I just want to thank you all for being here today. I know, you know, with everything going on, it's kind of turned people away from, you know, gathering together, but I'm so excited that you guys all were able to come here today. And I'm not going to take too much time, but I just want to say that I'm excited to be serving the chamber here as the executive director, and I look forward to what's to come. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce our moderator, Mara Sikowski, to get us started on this forum.
Come on, it's a full crowd.
It is really great to be back in this room again to see all you folks here. I thought an Aggie was something you won when you got marbles. Wasn't that an Aggie?
Showing your age, girl.
Kudos to KSRM for carrying this broadcast live. I look so much better on the radio than I do live in front of all you folks, but it is a public service, and during this pandemic, we haven't been able to campaign and have the normal type of gatherings, candidates, door knocking. Alaskans love to know their candidates personally. They love to complain to their candidates personally about their issues, and nobody is ashamed to interact with that. And KSRM has truly done a splendid job in making time available for candidates and callers to ask your personal questions. The questions today that we'll be asking have been prepared by members of the Chamber of Commerce. And they've been doing this for years, and the format has always been the same. Chamber members have special interests, and we want to know what the candidates are going to provide to the best interest of Chamber of Commerce issues. So those questions have been prepared and submitted for the candidates today. And with that, I'd like to welcome up our two candidates for borough mayor that have joined us here today, Mayor Charlie Pierce and Linda Farnsworth Hutchins. We will be giving them 9-second opening remarks because these two are familiar people to everybody. And then we're going to get into the myriad of questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your seat's there, Charlie.
I usually like to sit on the right.
You want to
I don't like sitting on the left. And you know that? Who set this room up?
If we start jokes, we're going to be going through the whole time here with just pundits, because it's definitely been an interesting political season. So again, welcome to our listening audience. Welcome to everybody who's here today. And with that, we'd like to give our challenger, Linda Farnsworth Hutchins, the first chance to give her 90 seconds opening remarks. Our timekeeper is Kim. When you are 15 seconds close to being out of time, she will give you the yellow signal. And then when the red signal comes up, I will have the cojones to interrupt you.
No!
And, ooh, bad joke, right? Okay, with that, Linda, would you like to open up with your opening remarks, please?
I'm Linda Farnsworth Hutchins. Is this not on?
That's the broadcast. You'll need to talk into this microphone.
Oh, okay.
And this one will pick you up.
All right. Can you hear? Yes, it's working. Okay, my name is Linda Farnsworth Hutchins. I was born and raised on the Kenai Peninsula. I have been extremely active in behind the scenes government and many not-for-profits, and boards and commissions for the state, for out of state, and I bring over 30 years of excellent accounting skills. I know how to read your budget, whether it's a private sector or a public sector budget. And I'm really excited to be here today and have the opportunity to talk to you and convince you that I am the person that you want as your borough mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And if you'll pass that microphone over to Charlie. And Charlie, if you'll give us our...
Thank you. I'd like to introduce my wife first, Vonnie. She's with me today. I have my campaign chair manager, Mary Jackson, with me as well. And both of these ladies have helped me immensely in the run for mayor. It's a busy job. Many of you know me. For those of you that don't know me, I've lived on the peninsula a better part of 30 plus years, been in Alaska for 45, managed NSTAR on the peninsula for 28, spent 39 years with NSTAR, and retired in 16, and I've served as your borough mayor for the last 3 years. I would say that we have been through some very uncharted waters in the last 3 years, and I believe that we have some additional uncharted waters to head that are heading our way as well. As you know, the state situation will have impacts on our borough. I believe we've done a responsible job. The team that I've put together here at the borough that I work with every day is working very, very hard with you. I'm part of that team, and I would say that the results that we produced has been above board. I would give myself an A+. You might give me an A, and with that, I'd say that we'll continue to work hard to keep the vehicle between the ditches and do our very, very best to continue to deliver services and try to avoid taxation as much as possible in the process. So thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. We're going to get right into it. That's okay. You can applaud. Radio audience, please hold your applause. First question, and Charlie, you lead off on this one, and we will go back and forth on who takes the questions first. But tell us what ideas you have to lead the borough economy forward out of the COVID pandemic.
Well, that's certainly a big challenge. I believe I was the individual that took the lead in March, following the very next day after the governor reduced some of his mandates. I was out on the streets the very next day saying that I believe we're all essential. And I don't believe one business is more important than the other. You know, I want to say that this chamber opened up today and hosted a meeting, and perhaps you can host the next assembly meeting here. I believe we're open for business, and I believe that's the best way to save our businesses is to continue to keep government out and off of the backs of the individuals in the way of taxation and the growth of government. Real jobs are created in the private sector, and I support that. One of the ideas that we came up during my term was the tax relief Agrium. We worked with Agrium the energy group out there to try to bring the fertilizer plant back. They would get a 50% tax reduction for 5 years. That's an example of some of the things I'll work on.
Thank you, Charlie. And Linda, we'll take the microphone now. And the same question, what ideas do you have to lead the borough economy in the next 3 years forward out of the COVID pandemic?
Well, you know, I have been visiting up and down the peninsula as far as Hope and as far south as Kachemak City and Homer. And there are a number of opportunities in all of these communities, and they are not opportunities that cannot be handled during COVID. So this is something each community is very invested in getting back to work, and they are getting back to work by social distancing and being respectful of others. And I think that there are so many opportunities that could be enhanced that have been left by the wayside, and I would hope to be able to handle that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You can take the next one, which is kind of a follow-up question, Linda. What specific areas of the economy have suffered the greatest impact, and what can the borough do to help recovery?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the restaurants. It's the small mom and pop stores that have nobody coming in to buy their, whether it's a pottery dish or whether it's clothing, that all of them have had to shut down because we just haven't had the responsible distancing and respect that needs to happen in this particular situation. And it's very, very hard on these small businesses. So I was excited to see the city's really picking up the small business grants and the nonprofit grants, because these are all people that need it. They are hurting. And if we expect to be able to come out of this, we're going to have to buckle down and help.
Thank you very much. And Linda, you can take the next question first. How would you have handled borough issues differently over the last 3 years? Charlie Sturt?
Well, didn't he have to respond to the one I just did?
Oh, okay, you're right. Okay. Well, specific areas of the economy that have suffered the most, Charlie, and the impact, and what can the borough do to help recovery?
Well, you know, you had 90 cruise ships that didn't show up in the ports of Homer and Seward, and you didn't have all the buses that bring the tourists down. The trains didn't run. Significant impacts on our borough. We had projected somewhere between 5% and 15% sales tax impacts, and to date it looks like it's going to be somewhere between 3% and 8%. I believe that was related to the messages that we were sending here through the tourist season, that we were open for business. We tried to invite folks down so that they could partake and go into the small stores and the shops and share and exchange, have that exchange of business with those folks. I'll continue to promote that and work to make sure that we are open. Cruise lines are important. I would try to reach out to them. I will be reaching out to them and seeing what their plans are to recreate that opportunity into our ports. Ports and harbors are a big opportunity for us. Fishing industry is a big opportunity. And, you know, we just didn't have the tourists this year.
Okay, thank you. And it'll be your turn to go first on the follow-up question. And looking back in your rearview mirror over the last 3 years as borough mayor, what issues might you have handled it differently?
You know, I will say that being a mayor, if I've learned anything, is you have to be a generalist. You have to be able to adjust and adapt to conditions, and you have to do it quickly. Having more time, opportunity to evaluate conditions and circumstances and gathering better information would have created better outcomes. But I would say overall, I have been up to the task. I have enjoyed the opportunities and the variety and the daily exchange of ideas and processes, and I've certainly learned along the way, and I would say I will continue to do that as your mayor and seek and strive for better outcomes as we work together.
Okay, thank you. And Linda Farnsworth-Hutchings, how would you have handled borough issues differently over the last 3 years?
Well, I would have handled them in a completely different way. I work very well one-on-one with everybody. I believe in having management meetings once a week so that you can deal with all of your department heads, see what's going on in their departments, and making sure that your employees feel like they are appreciated and are doing the most that they can do. And the only way they can do that is that if you're there with them and they don't feel like they are being reprimanded because of something that you don't care for. And I have worked in a lot of situations where I might not necessarily like the person that's sitting next to me, whether it's on a board or in my job or a number of items, but I always know that they're bringing something to the table that is worthwhile, and so I will work with them. Thank you.
Okay, Linda, hold on to the microphone and let's have you go first on this next one. Do you think there need to be any changes at the borough level to the state annexation process?
I think that the process has been in place by state statute for years, and that is the way it has to be handled. The cities and, of course, the borough assembly and the mayor can have their input, but it is still down to the Alaska State Boundary Commission.
Thank you, Jelly. The same question. Do you think there need to be any changes at the borough level for state annexation process?
At the borough level or the state level?
Well, it's a state process. So
okay,
is there
well,
anything
I'd say
the borough
that
could do, or what type of changes or policies could the borough implement about annexation?
Well, I think what we can limit or what we can agree to as a community first and foremost in our governments is that we're going to let the voice of the people be heard. I think that in the annexation examples that I've dealt with, the voice I hear in this community is that you want the right to vote. You want an opportunity to vote on the impacts on your property. And you know, you have councils and you have an assembly that agreed with me, sent a resolution forward that said, you know, we agree with the process, we don't disagree with the process of, or the thought process of annexation. But what we would do is we want you to give the people that are out there pounding the streets and hollering at you the right to vote. And at the state level, it needs to be changed, because what you can do to circumvent the system at the local level is you can just go to the boundary question. You can do the legislative process. And then that's pretty much a rubber stamp, and from what I've learned is that unless you testify or get involved and engaged in that as individuals, you have a hard time convincing that group to change their minds.
Okay, thank you. Hold on to the microphone there, Charlie. It's your turn to go first. And this is sort of relative to the last question. In talking with realtors recently, they say that vacant land sales in the borough are up and that the market is hot. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I've said we're open for business, come on down. And I've tried to convince people that live in Anchorage under the Berkowitz administration that there's a better place to live. Certainly on the peninsula, we're open for business. And, you know, I believe in the rights of individuals, and I believe that Alaskans are responsible individuals, and they can be given information and then utilize it in their best interest. And I think they do. We need to trust the people. And, you know, I think that's something that perhaps some government agencies have a lacking in, is trust in the people and their ability to make decisions. That would be my comments.
Okay, Linda, the same question. Realtors are saying that vacant land sales are up, they're having a great year in the borough, and that the market is hot. What would you attribute that to?
Well, I attribute it to a number of things. We have people moving into the area because they do not like living in the lower 48, where they are so controlled. They are living in apartment buildings, small subdivisions. They cannot access services. And so coming to Alaska is like, okay, I've been wanting to go for quite a while. It was going to be a vacation, but now I'm moving. And I've seen this happen over and over. I've talked to realtors. They said they just can't believe it. Plus, there are interest rates that are down there, and they're making it very attractive to buy.
Okay, thank you. Hold on to that one, Linda. Here we go with the revenue questions. Are the senior citizen tax exemptions too high, too low, or just right?
Bonnie, give me that.
Well, you know, I enjoy that exemption, so I don't know if it's too low or too high or just right. I think that we did this to keep our seniors in the area. And that's what I think we have accomplished.
Thank you. And Mr. Mayor, are the tax exemptions for senior citizens too high, too low, or just right?
No, I agree. I think we incentivized. I think there was a time where we were trying to attract seniors to come here, and one of the ways we incentivized that was through tax exemptions. And I think it would be pretty disingenuous at this time to change that mix at this time. You know, it depends on, I think that we have to look at the entire package, however. When you look at the ability to provide services and the costs that they come with, as the state evolves and makes decisions at the state level, we will have local impacts as they shift those costs to the local level. That's what they're trying to do, is get local governments. We have the taxing authority. We're the ones that can actually tax to collect the fees for services. And so you'll see many of the, in Alaska, we've been afforded the luxuries of having a government paid primarily by the revenues that the state generates, and I think you'll see that shift. But I think that it would be disingenuous at this time to try to change that exemption on seniors. I think it encourages them to come here, and we need to continue to encourage them to come here and live.
Okay, hold on to the microphone, Charlie. We're going to continue with the taxation subject here. Seasonal sales taxes on non-prepared food items. Something that's kind of unique to this borough, but what is your opinion about that, and can we sustain it in the future?
You know, I've always been a person that looked at food as a basic necessity, and if the priorities were right and the budgets were shift just right, I would hope that we could not tax food. You know, I would prefer to do it that way. However, sales tax revenue is generated, and it's needed, much needed, to help support the funding of our schools. And you know, it's all about models. It's about us deciding on what our priorities are and developing that model in a way in which we all agree upon. And that's really what it's about. I mean, we have a certain number of people who live here. We have property that has certain values. We have our costs that we have to cover, and it's about adjusting those things and priorities. And I would prefer to have no tax on foods, but however we have it, I agree with it for now. And it's needed, it's necessary, and I would say we'll be looking at the whole mix. We'll need to look at the whole mix as the state evolves.
Thank you. And Linda, the same question on seasonal sales taxes on non-prepared food items.
Well, non-prepared food items, I don't have a problem with it at all. I want to make sure, though, that we do keep our sales tax on prepared foods. There's a lot of tourism that comes down into this area, and they are stopping at your fast food stores, at your restaurants, and even going through the deli at Fred Meyer and Safeway. But the other thing that people do need to understand is a lot of times they complain about the sales tax on food, but those that cannot afford the foods or the sales tax are usually under a federal or a state program, so they're not paying sales tax on those foods as it is right now.
Okay, Linda, first on this next one, we're still on the revenue subject here. Do you anticipate increases in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District funding due to the coronavirus and new distant learning capabilities? And what's your position on education funding overall?
Well, I'm very strong on funding for education, and I was looking at the 2021 fiscal year budget, and we are flat funding again. In fiscal year 2018, we gave $38,600,000 to the school district as basically as a check. This was not the funds for maintenance, which the borough owns the school building, so of course we maintain them. But this year it is set to be at $38 million again. So we've been flat funding for a number of years. And I think that we need to look at that, because we are having a lot of additional costs now that we are dealing with COVID.
Okay, and Charlie, the same question. The kids are back in school, hallelujah. Do you anticipate any increases due to the costs to deliver education the way we have been this year? And what's your basic position on education funding?
Well, I would say that my administration has supported educational funding. The cap is at 52.7. Last fiscal year, we gave them $50 million, and it was agreement where we sat down with the school board, the school administration, leadership on the assembly, as well as administration leadership, and we all worked together to come up with that $50 million funding level, and that was primarily due to COVID. In the budget that I had prepared, I had 52.7 in it in February. February came and went, March showed up, and COVID showed up. And I quickly changed our ability to pay. I've always been an individual that puts budgets together, and revenue versus expenditures need to balance as close as possible. You know, all of us need to do our part to rein in on spending. We've done that on the administrative side in the borough. The borough employees have worked very hard to cut costs and save where we could. And again, the range has been 49.7 to 50. Million. I fully funded them in 19, and the range, the cap is 52 million dollars, $52 million dollars. So I would try to get as close to the cap as I can, but we'll have to look at the numbers.
Okay, thank you, Charlie.